get there, let's all stand for the reading and honor of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. We can trust God to break every chain because he's faithful. Amen. God is faithful. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how God is faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it simply says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's read that again. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord being our helper tonight, we're going to talk on that. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for being a faithful God. We're not talking about some made-up God or some God that just we rub a genie and he appears. We have a God that is with us at all times. We have a God that is faithful. We have a God that is trustworthy. And God, I pray tonight that you help us to see just that, how you are faithful in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of tests. You are a faithful God. You are a God that can be trusted in all points, in all things. God, I pray you help us tonight. I pray you forgive me my sins, Lord. I pray you empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit so I can preach with thus saith the Lord. God, I want to, you're a faithful God, and I'm trusting in you to help us, help your people breathe through us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. God is faithful. That's simple, yet complex. Why is it complex? Because sometimes we don't believe that. We don't always believe that God is faithful. But I'm thankful for the word of God and his promises. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, in verse number 20, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians, in verse number 20, the Bible says this: For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Let's back up. The Bible says, For all the promises or announcements or pledges of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. That word amen means trustworthy. It also means faithful. The word amen means trustworthy unto the glory or the praise of God by us. We serve a faithful God. This is going to be a very simple message, but I think oftentimes we need to be reminded of what God is and who God is and why he is faithful. The word faithful means trustworthy. It means trustful. It also means to believe, faithful, sure, and true. And all those things right there just explained what God is. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is true. We can believe in God. Why? Because God cannot lie. The Bible says that God cannot lie. God cannot change. So if he says here that he is faithful and that all his promises are yet in him, amen, we can hold him to that. We can stand on that. Amen. We can sit on that. We can rest on that. I want to just draw a couple comparisons to about faithfulness. About faithfulness. Friends will fail you, but God is faithful. Friends will fail you, but God is faithful. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and I'm going to read one verse there, and we'll flip a couple chapters to our right, and we'll read another verse. In 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 31, many of us know the story, but this is when Absalom revolted against David. And he used a person that was very close to David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 31, the Bible says this: And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirers. Conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So we have Ahithophel who was conspiring against David. He was conspiring against him. And who did he use? Who was he working with? He's working with with David's son, Absalom. Flip two chapters over to your right. In 2 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 21. I don't know about you, but when someone betrays you or when someone's not trustworthy or worthy of trust, that hurts, amen? Yeah. Especially when somebody close to you, you put your faith and your confidence in them. Let's bring it home for a second. You tell somebody a secret. You tell someone something that's very close to you, and you consider them your friend. What happens when your friend tells their friend? And now you thought that only one person knows, and now it's you, your friend, and then their friend. Every friend has a friend, amen? And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we just say, well, I'm going to tell my best friend. Well, your best friend has another friend. Amen? And so David entrusted it in Ahithophel. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 21, the Bible says this. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water. For thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. What happened here? He told David's adversary that what was going on, and David was heartbroken. He was hurting. How do you know he was hurting? Go with me to Psalm chapter number 41. Psalm chapter 41 and verse number 9. I love the Psalms because it tells a little story a little further. The Bible says in Psalm 41 and verse number 9, the Bible says this. Let's back up to verse number 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. David is saying that my own familiar friend, this is not my enemy. This is not someone who's opposed me or against me. My very own friend, my familiar friend, whom I trusted. I trusted in him, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. He lifted up his heel against David. David was heartbroken. David was sorrowful. David was. You have been in a situation where you trusted in someone and they rose up against you. They betrayed you. I remember the first time I was betrayed that I can remember in my life by a friend. I was in eighth grade and one of my best friends, and we even talked about the story several times. One of my best friends, Gishard, we was on North Side, and I was one of those friends that if you was fighting, I was fighting. I had your back. I believe that's how friends should be, amen. We don't go out fighting everybody. But nonetheless, you get the point. We should have each other's back. We should pray for one another, amen. And so I remember going, we was at Armstrong, and we had these little mobiles. And these little mobile homes where we had extra classes because the school was too filled. So my friend was fighting someone. I didn't know the story. I didn't know what was going on. But the guy I know, his name was Darnell, and he's about 6'3". Actually, I ran into him downtown with my wife. He walked past me. I looked at him, and we smiled and laughed and kept going. But he was about 6'2 or 6'3". And at that time, I was 5 feet, 100 pounds, soaking wet. And this guy was fighting my friend. And so I jumped in. And so we're fighting, and I'm swinging like I'm like Super Mario because he's tall, and I had to jump and swing and do all different things. And then all of a sudden, the guy took my book bag, and he threw it on the roof. And the principal came and he saw what was going on. And so we got called in the office and we ended up getting suspended. Well, I ended up getting suspended because they said I was the one who was attacking them, which I was. And that's the truth. But long story short, I got suspended for 3 days. I came back to school and the rumor was that I got beat up. And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? I didn't get beat up. I mean, I whooped the guy. At least I thought I did. And all the different things happened. So I started going around and finding out what was going on. My friend, who at least I thought he was, and he was my best man at my wedding. We got it situated, amen. But because there was some problems back then. But nevertheless, he told everybody that I got beat up. Here I go helping him fight his fight. And I come back to school, and he told everyone that I got beat up, and now I got to explain what happened, all different things. So my trust was broken, and for a long time, I will only do so much. We use my friend, but use on my friend so much. Can y'all relate? You get heartbroken. Different things happen. And now, you know what? I'm not going to give myself fully over to anyone. I'm only going to trust you with so much. I may tell you something, but if I tell you something, that means I'm okay with the world knowing. Anybody with me? There's friends that oftentimes that just, they love to talk. But nevertheless, we have friends that will fail you, but God is faithful. There's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And that verse not talking about Jesus, but necessarily Jesus is the person who can stick closer to any other brother or any other sister. Jesus not a girl, but nevertheless, you get the picture. Stick closer than any other friend. Go with me to John chapter number 6 and verse number 70. Since we're talking about Jesus, let's see what Jesus said in John chapter number 6 and verse number 70. Aren't you glad that when friends aren't faithful, God is? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God is faithful. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 70, the Bible says this. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 69, I read that. The Bible says, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now we're talking about Jesus. If you go, skip ahead a few chapters, you see when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. Did you know Jesus was washing the feet of the very person who betrayed him? Yet Jesus faithfully washed his feet. He continued. He didn't stop, even though he knew. Yeah, I remember Jesus knows all. God, he's God. Jesus is God. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And he has all power. He's all knowing and all different things. But he knew who was going to betray him, yet he was a friend. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is a friend to sinners? God is faithful even when our friends fail us. Number two, faith. Family will fail you. Family will fail you, but God is faithful. Go to John chapter number 9. In verse number 18, John chapter 9 and verse number 18, John chapter number 9 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was blind, was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who have opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. He asked him, and he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." And verse number 23. Therefore, said his parents, "He is of age. Ask him." Jesus' parents wasn't faithful to him. They said, "He's of age. Ask him." They didn't want that pressure on him. As parents, hallelujah, we should want to stand in the gap for our children. Amen. We should want to stand in the gap. Man, I remember my mom. I thank God for faithful mothers. Amen. Mothers that will go to school and get yelled at by the teachers because of a student. And the student was wrong. And my mother, being the great mother she is, and I thought it was going to come out a different way. She took the heat for me. As parents, we should stand in the gap for our children. How can we stand in the gap? We can stand in the gap by praying. We can stand in the gap by praying. I think about Miss Jolene and all the times, their own testimonies, how they prayed for DJ. I think about my wife and her mother and how they pray faithfully. Right now, they're praying for Stevie. I don't know about you, but I believe God. I believe God. I believe God because he is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust, and I believe that God can and God will do what we ask if we believe. I showed the kids today at school this little thing that I have in my Bible. and it's a mustard seed. They laughed and said, why do you have a mustard seed taped in your Bible? I said, because I need to be reminded that if I have faith that small, the faith the size of the grain of a seed of mustard seed, that we can move mountains. If there's anything wrong with our churches today, it is we lack faith. Amen. We lack faith for the, what they say, the old timers, how they pray and they believe and they trusted God. We can still trust God. Why? Because he is faithful, even when our families are not faithful. God is faithful even when our funds aren't faithful. Even when our funds are not faithful. Over there, in you don't have to turn it in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a woman, a widow of, I'm not going to try to pronounce the area. It starts with Zarephath or something like that. And the story goes that she didn't have enough to pay the bills and all different things, but God is faithful, and he provided exactly what she needed. I'm going to bring you something a little closer to home. Go to Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 32. Luke 12 and verse number 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32. The Bible says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth or corrupteth. So we have a God that is able to supply our needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We ought to trust not our funds, because sometimes our funds act funny. Our money. Sometimes our money act funny. But oftentimes we're not disciplined enough to take care of God's treasure, because that's what it belongs to, God's. And we're not faithful with it. But when we're not faithful with our funds, God is still faithful. When our feelings fail, God is faithful. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 12. When our feelings fail, God is faithful. Did you know you can't trust yourself? You can't trust your feelings. How you know that? Oftentimes, myself included, in the past, I didn't feel like I was saved. What changed? Just my feelings. Nothing else changed. Once you place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's it. You don't have to keep asking to the Lord to save you. Once saved, always saved. Amen. We have a God that is faithful to save. Nevertheless, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says this: if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Don't deny Christ. Amen. Don't deny him. I was talking to some teens in our class, and we was talking about dealing with apologetics, and we started talking about the disciples and how they didn't deny Christ. Many of them one of them was crucified upside down, history tells, and that's Peter. One had, several had their heads chopped off. Some was in dungeons, and some were stoned. And we're not talking about little pebbles and little rocks. When we talk about stone, we're talking about people throwing boulders at you. They pushed you off a cliff, and if you survived the cliff, then they threw the boulders and the rocks down on you. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're referring to. These men were faithful. Don't deny Christ. Don't be, even when our feelings fail, God is faithful. He's faithful. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says this: being confident, Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us the same way that he found us? He will perform it. What the word perform means: to complete. We're not done yet. We're not finished projects. Christ has, his name is initialed on that, the artwork, but it isn't complete yet. It won't be complete until we get to heaven. That's when we get our glorified bodies, our complete bodies, our heavenly bodies. That's when we get, the Bible says, a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When our faith fails, God is still faithful. When our faith fails, God is still faithful. If you remember on Sunday, we was preaching, and we mentioned a verse over there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. We'll talk about forbearing one another, forgiving one another. We should forgive one another. Even when our faith fails, we should forgive. When our faith fails, we should still ask God to increase our faith. We have a God that is faithful. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 13. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The Bible says, if we believe, or if we have, or if we faithless not, word believe means to be faith, to be our faithless, believe not, yet ye abideth faithful. Who abideth faithful? The word abide means to remain. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. Why? Because that's who God is. God is trustworthy. God is full of grace and he's full of mercy. I have two more verses and then I get to the amazing part that I like. Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 11. Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 11. Why am I using all these verses? Because sometimes we read one verse and we think that's the only time that God is faithful. No, God is faithful all throughout the scriptures. The Bible says in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, the Bible says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, this is just a statement here, but we have to remember what happens after this statement. Paul is on his way to Rome. Remember, Paul said that he must see Rome. He must reach Rome. He said he wanted to reach Rome, but the Lord said here that you will reach Rome. You will get there. Now, if you fast forward a few chapters, Paul is in a shipwreck. But he said, I believe God is faithful. Sirs, in chapter 27, verse 10, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. In verse 23, the Bible says in Acts 27, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. It's a promise. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Why do we believe God? Because God is faithful. He says, for I believe God that it shall be even it was told me. Right after this, he was in a shipwreck. And then he got to Melita, and he was bit by a venomous viper. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 and verse number 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. The Bible says he shook off the beast and into the fire and felt no harm. Why did he feel no harm? He knew that God is faithful. He shook off the beast of this venomous viper. And the Bible says, fast forward, let's get there. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 16, the Bible says, thank God for the word of God. The Bible says in Acts 28, 16, and when he came to Rome, God is faithful. Even when our faith fails, even when our faith is small, God is still faithful. Paul trusted in God, and God fulfilled his promise. He said, you will stand before Rome. The Bible says here, and when he came to Rome. I like that the Bible just said that we came to Rome and just kept on going as if it's not a big thing. This is a huge thing because he came to Rome and he testified. And that's why we have the book of Romans. Why? Because he reached Rome. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. All these trials that we go through is for a purpose. It's for a reason. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is faithful, why do we lack faith? Why is our faith small? We need to trust in the word of God. Trust in God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We're talking about Jesus. God is faithful. Even when our faith is small and our faith is tearing apart. Hallelujah. My Bible's going all over the place. Nevertheless, God is faithful. God is also faithful in defending his people. If you go over there, Psalm chapter 89, and you don't have to turn there. God defend his people. God has all power. He knows how to deliver us out of the enemy's hand. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God is faithful in times of temptation. God knows how to deliver the godly out of all the temptations and all the trials and all the tests. Why? Because God is faithful. He is faithful in keeping us Christians, that is. He's faithful in keeping us what? He's faithful in keeping us saved. I believe once saved, always saved. Amen. You can't lose something that was given to you freely, the Bible says. The Bible says over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, the whole spirit and the soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of who? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God. Why? Because God is faithful. If God called us, God can also preserve us. What is preserved? It's just like you have those canned goods. You put some salt in there. Salt is a preservative. You put the salt in there to preserve. You put the seal on top of the can. The can closes what's inside in. We have a Holy Spirit that closes us, that secures us what? In what? Into the family of God. You can't lose something that was freely given. God is faithful. If we just grab a hold in that and see, if you crack those same string beans open, I love string beans, amen. If you crack those same string beans open in 10 years, hallelujah, it'll still be good. Why? Because it was preserved. Preserved by what? Salt. The Bible says that God is salt. He's a salt. He's also a preservative. God is, and the Holy Spirit is, faithful, amen. He's faithful to keep us saved. He's faithful in chastising his children also. He's faithful in chastising us. Why do we get chastisement? Because we're his, and we're not, the Bible says, bastards. Bastard is somebody who doesn't have a father. That means illegitimate. So we have a father. And any faithful father, any good father will chastise you. That's good when you get chastised. If you don't get spanked or whooped, beware. Let's move on. God is faithful in doing what? Forgiving us of our sin. Look at 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, here it goes again. He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's back up. If or since we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. We have a faithful God. We have a just God. I'm thankful that he justified us. The way I always break it down is the way Brother Ed Moore broke it down to me a couple years ago. Justified. Just as if I never sinned. That's what justify means. See, God justifies us or declares us righteous. That's what God does. After he justifies us, he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. See, we're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. And then that last one, we'll be saved one day from the very presence of sin. That's glorification. That's glorified. When will we be glorified? When we get to heaven, we'll have glorified bodies. That's glorification. God is faithful to do what? Exactly what he said. God is faithful who promised. God is faithful who promised. He's faithful, last one, in hearing our prayers. And I'm going to go to that one. Psalm 143 and verse number 1. Psalm 143 and verse number 1. The Bible says, thank God for the Bible. I like when people said the Bible says, not what I say. The Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm 143 and verse number 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. That means my request. In thy, what? Faithfulness, answer me. In thy righteousness. We have a God who not only hears prayers, but we have a God who also answers prayers. We have a God who is faithful when our friends aren't faithful. We have a God who is faithful when our family isn't faithful. We have a God who is faithful when our funds isn't faithful. We have a God who is faithful when our feelings aren't faithful. And we have a God who is faithful even when our faith isn't faithful to us. How's your faith today? Are you trusting in the everlasting God? We should. Why? Because God is faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. for being a faithful, wonderful, miraculous, miracle-working God. How do we know miracles work? We live in miracles. Anybody who's saved is a miracle on this earth. God, we thank you for being a faithful God. Lord, I know we don't preach topical messages, but Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for giving to me the way you gave it to me. I'm thankful for you being faithful. God, if we have problems trusting in you, and I pray you increase our faith. That's what disciples said. Lord, do a work in our hearts. Work on us. Breathe in us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand.